Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life after booze.
Hey, I'm Kaylee, and I have been alcohol-free for 513 days.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I have been sober for 429 days.
How are you feeling, Katie? 429 days sober?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Today was busy. It was like the first day of the month, and last month was a short month, so work just felt a little extra hectic, but I love days where I can like check things off my list there. It feels really just like, you know, I don't know. It's like lifts a small amount of weight, everything that I do. So it just feels good. I had a hair appointment. I went to the gym. So I'm ready to get 8 hours of sleep tonight for sure.
Hell yeah. I love that.
What about you?
I'm doing really freaking good too, dude. I have chocolate milk and like a whiskey glass right now. I went grocery shopping. I bought a bunch of stuff I was excited about. And it's funny because last episode I was totally going through it and was in such a funk. And I can't even really tell you that anything has really changed, but I'm just feeling a lot more like gratitude. And I had some experiences where I had to be vulnerable and it ended up being a positive experience. And like I've been getting positive feedback at work, even though I've been terrified. So I'm getting like some reassurances that what I'm doing is the right thing to do. And that feels fucking good.
I love that.
Yeah, I feel less pressure on myself to like do the things I feel like I should do. And that was something I've been working with my therapist on for like fucking forever. And now I like really look forward to and enjoy watching TV and knitting and doing quote unquote like what I used to criticize myself for as being lazy. I'm here for it. And I'm still like, you know, getting my shit done and going to the gym. So that's sobriety. That's like not something I ever had in my life before quitting alcohol. So that's fucking dope.
Yeah, I feel that. I literally watched TV for 5 hours on Saturday. I was like, hello, family. I am going to go watch television for 5 hours. And they were like, okay. And I went in my matching sweatsuit and I laid down on my bed and I binge watched all 8 episodes of Single Drunk Female on Hulu. Like, and it was legit. And then I like read 10 pages in my book and then I was like, okay, I'm going to get up. And I went to, we went to dinner after that. Like, it was just so nice to be like, I'm going to relax. Like, it's my chore.
Yes. And like, being so excited for it.
Yes.
Lately, I've been taking my laptop into the kitchen, connecting my Bluetooth headphones, and watching the latest Jeopardy. And I like have just been cooking and watching TV in the kitchen, and that's made it so much more fun. So,
can I ask, what do you watch Jeopardy on? Like, how do I do that?
Oh, shit. Yeah. So not sponsored, not a plug, but Jeopardy came out with a like college championship on Hulu. Yeah. And it has I can't remember her name, but this really great new host since we lost Alec Trebek, unfortunately. But it's really good and I've been loving it. And it's something that you can mostly just listen to. You don't have to like be watching the screen, so I can like bop around in the kitchen and like listen to Jeopardy. And I honestly sound like I'm fucking 80 years old.
I do have something to say here.
Yes,
as one does, as I normally do. Okay, so who out there, if you're listening to this, has noticed how many alcohol commercials are on Hulu specifically?
I am spoiled. I don't pay for commercials.
Oh my gosh.
Bitch, I'll give you my login. Don't tell anyone.
I'll log off my sister's and use yours. Well, there are wine commercials, which is weird. It's like $5.99 wine commercials.
Ugh.
So crazy. And to the point where Steve and I were like, we're going to just purchase this so we don't have to watch the commercials. This is so problematic. Like, you're literally advertising to people in their homes who are watching television, who are probably drinking. It's just intelligent, obviously. It's marketing. It's the way to make money. But it's just fucking annoying. And I'm spoiled because Netflix doesn't really have commercials and neither does HBO. So maybe that's the reason I'm noticing it, is because Hulu is the only one with fucking commercials.
Yeah, dude. That totally it brings up a dilemma. Like, I worked at an agency where I didn't have to be on that client at the time. But I think now if I were to get a client that was an alcohol client, I don't know how good I would feel about like helping them with their marketing and like trying to get to their target audience. It would depend. Anyway.
Speaking of that, I have she's like my sober friend on Instagram. I've never met her. Her name is Chelsea and she runs a page called Mixed Without. And it's a like in-depth mocktail review, where to source Instagram page that's solely dedicated to that. She has a great newsletter as well. It's Mixed Without with no spaces for anyone who wants to follow her. Anyway, she's great, but she works in the event and catering space in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And her job basically just told her that it's either her alcohol-free page or her job because they conflict with each other.
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. And she's been talking to me about it. And like, they told her she's not allowed to be on her personal phone at all during Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, 0. And said it was a conflict of interest for them. And then the next appointment that was booked, check this out, was an alcohol-free event.
Yeah. Dumb bitch.
And she was like, bet you fucking want me on there now, don't you, fuckers? Like, so bad. Anyways, I'll keep everyone updated on that. Go follow Chelsea at Mixed Without. She's got some great recipes and she's really into like holism as well, like holistic properties of beverages and things like that. So yay.
Awesome.
So Kaylee, what are we talking about this week?
Oh my God. Well, funny story. Katie and I were brainstorming to figure out what we wanted to do for this episode, especially now that we're on episode 18. We have another special guest coming up. I felt like I hadn't done much. You know, we did an episode about going to Palm Springs.
So Kaylee and I, like she said, we're trying to prepare for this episode and we have so much content, but sometimes it's like we want to feel good in the moment about the content and, you know, anyways, we just weren't, and Kaylee was like, I just feel like I have to like say like, oh, I did this or I did this big thing and this is exciting, and I fucking didn't, dude. Like, I fucking chilled out. And I was like, let's talk about how hard we chilled. What did we do? And we were like, TV, because we both watched so much fucking TV this weekend.
So Katie and I, as we were getting excited to talk about this specific topic, we're brainstorming and just totally going on rants about the shows that we used to watch when we were younger and how like fucked up they were and how much they like affected my personality. I definitely feel like I was like raised by TV and wanted to be like that girl on TV.
Well, and to interject, especially as an only child, like you didn't have a lot of influence from a sibling or anything like that. So when you say that you were raised by TV, like that was your family when you were by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I was alone a lot. My dad worked full time and I had babysitters and he put me in a lot of really cool programs. And I was actually just talking to Katie about how I've been having some gratitude for my childhood lately because that was pretty sick. But I also had no supervision in terms of I was watching rated R movies when I was 7. I watched South Park and was like wearing South Park t-shirts when I was 10. Romy Michelle's High School Reunion has been my favorite movie since it came out. And I had to like, oh my God, ask my grandma what virginity meant because I was watching it with my grandma. Anyway, so there's these shows that really kind of like affected me negatively too, and definitely made me like want to do drugs, want to drink, want to like, you know, be hard, be a badass. And Katie, like, I know that there's some of ours that are the same, but I want us to tell the audience which ones were our faves when we were younger.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Tell me.
Okay. So I hate that now I'm like, this is going to fucking age me, but whatever. Who gives a shit?
Dude, I'm so excited. I'm 31. I'm so glad I'm 31.
I love it. I do not ever want to go back to the age of my life where I was watching Degrassi and fucking, they might be making like next gen or something now, but this is Degrassi when Drake was on it. The rapper Drake, yeah. He played Jimmy, who like had to be in a wheelchair after a school shooting and then couldn't get an erection.
Like how fucking, I mean, at least there's some representation there, I suppose. Like I can't imagine like as an alter-abled person what that would feel like if Drake was in a fucking wheelchair, like playing out your life. But
what the
anyways,
fuck?
Yeah, continue.
So there was this girl on that show and her name was Ellie, if anyone remembers who she was.
Oh, I remember Ellie.
Yeah, bitch. She was like rock and roll, very much like the Avril Lavigne scene, which I was very into early high school, like 14, 13. V into that. So I would watch Degrassi and I would be like, oh, I identify with the things that Ellie's feeling. And she, trigger warning, like self-harmed in an episode. And I was like, I relate to the way that she's feeling and she's doing this as a release. So like, I literally like TV was like, hey, if you're feeling bad, like here's a way you could deal with it. And I, you know, am now, I don't know how many years in like recovery from that, but I can't blame, of course, like one episode of a TV show for I have like depression, all that good stuff. But yeah, Degrassi taught me how to cut myself.
Yes,
is that dark?
Dude.
Is that too dark?
I mean, no. Degrassi taught me what gonorrhea of the throat is.
Yes, because that episode with that guy who looked way fucking older who like lived in a van, yeah. Jay and Emma.
And she like snuck out. Yeah, Emma like snuck out at night and like gave him a BJ. And then she got gonorrhea.
Oh, and it's also how I learned there were those like fuck bracelets in middle school. We had something called fuck bracelets.
Okay, dude, you go first and then I'll go about the fuck bracelets. I have something to say.
That's how I knew what they were for, or like either that or I felt cool when Degrassi mentioned it because I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I know what a fuck bracelet is. And it was like different colors, right? For like different like sex acts, yeah, that you had done. And Emma got one because she wanted one to be popular. And then she got gonorrhea of the throat.
Yes. Well, I was going to say it's interesting because when I went to Catholic school, I wore those because they were like a Hot Topic and it was the cool thing to do. You know, like I wore
them too.
I wore big ass etnies and the bracelets. So it was just the thing.
I had glow in the dark ones. They were fucking sick.
I had black with the like teal.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, but I was wearing those bracelets and my literature teacher pulled me aside and told me that the sexual acts bracelets were not allowed in school. And I was like, what? Like, I mean, yes, I had done sexual acts at this point, probably, but like, I wasn't getting shit for them. I promise you. The only thing I was getting for them was like a broken heart and like low self-esteem. And she thinks these bracelets are coming in. Like, there was 8 people in my class. I had just transferred there. I was literally punished by going there. My first week was when I took that Dilaudid.
Oh my God.
And passed
Katie.
Out in mass. Like, my mom punished me by sending me to Catholic school, and I just fucked up my life that entire year that I went to school there. I hated it. But anyways.
Well, we all know that the Catholic schools have the best drugs. Like, that's, like, the private schools. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what else? Okay, so we've got Degrassi, okay.
Skins for me was like the whole reason I wanted to study abroad in London. I wanted to like party and do a ton of drugs.
I never watched it.
It's so good. It's so like not something you should be watching at that age, I bet, but I fucking loved it. And a lot of people from Skins are now in a ton of other stuff. Like a lot of them were in Game of Thrones, A24's new Green Knight. That person was in Skins.
It was a really big show in the UK, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was huge. And then the U.S. tried to do it and they fucked it up and made it stupid.
I watched part of that and then I stopped.
What about you, Katie? What were your faves, your problematic favorite television shows?
Well, like, movies started really young for me, too. My mom, her birthday's Halloween and she's a horror buff.
Right. That's right.
So we saw like a lot of... We, like, you know, watched Chucky the Doll when we were little, and TNT would oftentimes just be left on when we were sleeping in the living room and, like, you know.
Dude, did that fuck you up? I was such a scared child. I had nightmares after watching Mars Attacks for, like,
yeah. Still. Dude, we watched, like, The Exorcist. I think I watched her the first time when I was 10.
Whoa. That one's still scary, dude.
Yeah, I don't watch it. I don't watch any horror, period. I watch...
That makes sense.
Like... I will watch, like, true crime all day. Like, the more Mariska Hargitay, the better. Like, Law & Order is my jam, you know, NCIS even. Like, I'm all about that stuff. But, yeah, I don't fuck with scary movies. So, like, the scariest movie I'll watch now is, like, Split with James McAvoy, which is, like, a psychological thriller.
Oh, those are cool.
About someone with, like, multiple personalities disorder and also is, like, a villain, like, a supervillain, and is part of a bigger series. But, like, I'll watch some of that. So that kind of was early on. My mom also loved The Simpsons, loved South Park. So, like, I also grew up watching that shit. Like, we played the PlayStation all the time. My mom was a video gamer, too. And so we played all the South Park PlayStation games, like,
fuck
Earthworm
yeah.
Jim, like, just everything. Yeah, we always had the newest video gaming console, which is so funny. I don't play video games as an adult, but, like, Steve has bought me Spyro and, like, things like that on PlayStation, and I will, or Xbox, and I will play here and there.
I still have my PS2. I should bust it out.
Oh my God, yes, I love that. And so, yeah, my mom, like, really liked media and stuff like that. So we didn't have a lot of rules around TV, but we also, like, played sports and, you know, we just did all the things. So... I remember for my, I think it was my 12th Christmas present, I got a portable DVD player for my bedroom.
Oh, shit.
And my mom used to take me to Family Video, which is the local video store.
Yeah.
And I would rent series of things when I was in middle school. And so, like, I watched all the Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
I watched... Blue Crush. I actually, my mom bought that DVD because I watched it, like, literally 170 times one summer. Like, I was so obsessed with Kate Bosworth. I wanted to be a surfer. I actually wanted to be the little sister who was hanging out, like, at the party, like, smoking weed out of an apple and, like, skateboarding. Like, I wanted that to be my life. And then, like, to surf and...
Same.
Yeah, and
same.
Party. Like, that was my jam. And then I came across the movie 13.
Oh, yeah.
And... I am not sure why my mom let me rent that. It's like, hey, you 13-year-old who is, like, putting up all these red flags that you need to see a therapist and you're going through it. Like, your family dynamics are changing. You don't understand your body. You don't like yourself. You feel othered, you know, like, all of these things. Watch this movie about coping mechanisms. And bad ones. And I can't, like I said, I also can't blame everything on one thing. But yeah. That movie, I was like, I want to be her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like all about that. And I also started to self-harm a little bit at that age, just like I dabbled, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm sure us, like myself anyways, like a privileged white person is like, my life is so bad. And it's like, you know,
I know.
I don't know. And it's not a trauma contest, but like I definitely, looking back, was just so, it was just silly and a little sad sometimes.
Definitely.
Baby girl. But yeah, so... I was just, like, allowed to watch whatever I wanted, and I think I was really drawn to that reclusive, emo as fuck, like, just sad girl that was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes,
and,
yes.
That really went on to define my teen years into my 20s. Like, that was a real narrative I took on.
Yeah. And it's also one of those things that's like, you want to watch that movie because you think you'll relate to it. And then you do. Like,
yeah.
But 13 for me, my parents actually said that I could not watch it. Like, I was forbidden to watch it because at this point, the golden years were over. My dad married another woman, my stepmom. She moved in with her kids. They were not the the, you know, cool older sisters or like family I wanted, but was, you know, anyway, she was actually really great in ways that I didn't appreciate back then. And so she was like, you can't watch this. They password protected it. And I was self-harming at the time. So totally fucking checks out why you're like, dude, like you're on Prozac. You're like going, we had to pull you out of school once a week to go to counseling. Like there's no fucking way you're going to watch this. And I hacked into like the DVR or something, like figured out what their password was. It was like their wedding date. And watched it anyway and was like, I fucking love this shit. Yeah, this gets me. Yeah. This is like this is my jam. And
oh my
so
gosh.
Embarrassing. So stupid.
Dude, I hear you. What was it? The one about the skateboarders that came out. I mean, there are many. But
with Adam Brody?
Yes.
Danny will not fucking watch that with me.
because he's like, he actually skateboards. Yeah,
exactly. He's like, it's so cringe. That stuff is so cringe. And I'm like, yeah, please. But it's called Grind, 2003 comedy / teen, PG-13, Adam Brody as like a nerdy skater guy. And the premise is a Chicago teenager and his friends travel across America to watch a legendary skateboarder compete, which was Bam Margera. So they like have a scene where they like party with Bam and try and get sponsored by Bam. And the whole thing is like hot teenage boy skaters. And the humor is like fucking stupid. And it has a 5.9 out of 10 rating. Dude. On IMDb. But
I'm thinking of something different. I'm thinking of something different than you.
Are you thinking of Lords of Dogtown?
Yes.
I'm Googling right now. Lords of Dogtown. I don't think I've actually seen this one, but we did watch mid-90s, and it's like one of Danny and I's favorite movies.
Oh my gosh, you have to watch Lords of Dogtown. It's hot.
Okay. Oh, it has Heath Ledger in it?
Yeah, dude, the Z-Boys.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it came out when I was like 14.
Yeah, 2005.
Yeah, I went and saw it at the movie theater with like my pseudo boyfriend at the time, my middle school boyfriend, who like I wasn't supposed to be dating. And we always went to the movies in Michigan, where I grew up. In the wintertime, we had like lake effect snow. We would get like, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 feet, and there's just nothing to do. So we would hang out at the bowling alley when our parents made us, because they all were on a bowling league. And then we would go to the movie theater or to the ice skating rink. And we would drink in the bushes outside of the movie theater.
I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but like,
please.
I want people to understand that I think when Katie and I both say drinking in the bushes, we don't mean like in the sticks, like in the woods, like literally hiding in fucking like hedges. Hiding. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Yes, continue.
Exactly. I'm like hiding in the hedges because I know my mom was suspicious as fuck of me. Mm-hmm. Like she knew I was up to no good. She'd be like, you're really going to that movie? I'm gonna drive by and check that you guys are standing outside.
My stepmom was like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was an old school movie theater, so it was like you literally only went in when the movie started. I cannot tell you how many times we went and saw Polar Express and I gave my boyfriend at the time a hand job. Like seriously. It is terrible. We hung out there so much. I have so many memories there. And I went to my first date there. My first date, I watched Save the Last Dance with someone I'm still friends with on Facebook, and he was like my on and off again boyfriend second grade to eighth grade, you know, and then since then has dated like other of my friends, and he seems like he's been really good nowadays. Yeah, so anyways, we would sneak a pint of Jack Daniels into the movie theater too, and we would drink in the movie theater,
like swigging a pint of Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was a small town.
That's crazy. Did you just throw it in someone's purse?
I would just go with the boys usually, and this guy who was my band boyfriend that I used to go with, but I had to sneak around.
Oh my god, wait. Did he put it in his cargo pants? His big cargo pockets?
Yeah. He wore like the really low, like down below his butt with his boxers.
Yes. Oh,
and
no.
He wore like, he had like spiked hair and wore like massive Tool t-shirts and yes. had like huge, like the metal ball necklace.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The secret. We would go to his mom's house sometimes after like movies or the skate rink and stuff and just smoke cigarettes with her.
Your poor fucking mother.
I was 13. Yeah. I was the definition of like, what? You don't want your fucking middle school girl to be like, who's like super smart, super funny, gets good grades, athletic. Like I was the, you know.
You just had to get it out of your system. And for us, that's just now happening.
It took a long time.
It's just now. It's so like, anyways. It's just starting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that's so love that we know how film, how movies, how media came into play for us when we were young. And like, I also want to know what everyone else is, like if they feel like they have defining movies that they watch during that time. I think it really does. Like, I mean, everything we're consuming all the time shapes us, right? So we know that now as adults. So it's just so interesting. What happened when you decided to quit drinking? Like, did your, like, what you were consuming change? Or, like, what happened with that?
Yeah, well, I think, I have so much more free time, or it feels like I have so much more free time. And I've really been leaning into, like, chilling and watching TV. And also, I don't want to go out to the bars. You know, I like being in my cozy house and cuddling with my animals and fucking watching TV at the end of a work day. And I'm trying not to feel guilty about that. So I've been watching a lot more TV, and I've found that it isn't just drinking in television shows, right? Like, it's almost how the alcohol is portrayed in the TV show. So like, It's Always Sunny, I can watch that and not be triggered at all and not think like, oh man, I really want to drink. A drink sounds really good, because I don't know, watching those characters drink doesn't do it for me. It doesn't make me like crave a fucking glass of wine.
Right.
But Succession, when, you know, they're stressed and it's like a really high stress situation and you're feeling stressed for them and then they drink, you're like,
are drinking.
Yeah, I'm feeling that stressed for you. Like that, you know, glass of fucking rich person Chardonnay looks delicious. Like, I want that. And then there was also a lot of Coke in Succession and a lot of really fucking cool parties. And I caught myself being like, man, I wish I was at that fucking party, you know, getting to like booze around with all these rich people and not be the main characters who are suffering, but just like
everyone else,
you know, be a fly on the wall and like get to do blow with these people. And then I'm like, like, I don't want to think those thoughts. So I had a little bit of a hard time with that.
Yeah, Succession did that for me as well. If anyone hasn't watched it, it's really good. It's like a family-owned corporation, bigot dad, like wannabe woke white boy son, like split up the company. It's really fucking good. I enjoyed it. It's on HBO. But it did the same for me, Kaylee. And like watching Kendall just down spiral his life with substances was like, oh, what are you doing? Don't do that. You know, it's almost like I got attached to this character that's struggling with substances a little bit more. And, you know, you just feel like you can relate to it. And so also when I saw his sister like going for that glass of wine every day after her super high stress job in life, I was like, oh, I remember what that tastes like. You know what I mean? It's just like totally, totally reminiscent.
Oh, yeah. And then you realize, too, that like none of them are, you know, really happy. And so they're using it as a coping mechanism. So it's not necessarily like supposed to be glamorized at all. But even then, I'm like, oh, yeah, like I want to fuck up my life. And then I'm like, no, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. What? Because I'm bored? Because I, like, am bored with, like, just being in my house for a little bit? Like, do a fucking puzzle. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so I have another question for you.
Okay.
Have you watched Euphoria?
I just recently finished the season three finale. I am fucked up.
I have a question.
Okay.
What character do you identify with most?
Oh my God. I don't want to admit it because it's embarrassing, but Cassie.
Me too.
Especially when I was that age, 100%.
Same. I feel exactly the same way. So no shame. We love you, Cassie. We see you. Poor baby.
I did buy the heatless hair wrap that Cassie used episode. And I'm looking forward to it coming in the mail. Thank you very much. So I can have beautiful blonde curls.
I love you. Yeah, her hair is epic. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I just, like, my heart broke for Matt. Like, the whole show. How is that for you, like, with the drug use and the alcohol use? And even just, like, the emotional trauma. Like, sometimes when you're sober, you know, it's not as funny to engage with other people's deep-seated stuff, you know, even if it is a character.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually, like, this is another thing that's kind of embarrassing, but I do feel really hard. And sometimes, you know, I've talked about how, like, people's vibes can affect the way that I feel, and I'm working on trying to, like, put some form of barrier between that. But I really take on, like, the fucking weight of that after the show's over, and I was depressed for a few days, and I was like, I just don't know what's wrong. Like, I feel like I'm in a funk and everything's totally fine and I know it, but I just feel, like, weird and off and, like, really depressed. Danny was like, well, you have been watching Euphoria. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's kind of been fucking me up. So it's so beautiful. And I think the acting is amazing and they did such a good job. But I need to watch, like, a fucking cartoon afterwards just to, like, reset my my emotional calibrators or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. So. Oh, I can relate to that on a different level. Steve and I listen to true crime falling asleep.
Oh my God.
Almost every night. And then I finally was like, I told Steve, I was like, you know, I don't know if that's, like, high vibe for my subconscious while I'm nodding off into Night Night Land. Like,
yeah.
I feel like we should listen to something else. He was like, yeah, I guess I didn't even think about that. So I feel you there. I love Euphoria. Heartbreaking. So good. Like you said, just all of it. I'm not here to review the show, but I will. I thought that Rue, like, I don't have that kind of experience in recovery. And it was a really good chance for me to be like, fuck, you know, like, some people do. I feel like that was necessary to see. And then I have a sibling that's in active addiction on hard drugs. And so I was like, you know, like... Yeah, it just, like, brings that stuff kind of to the forefront when you see other people going through it, obviously. But overall, I thought that they did a really good job. And Zendaya is the fucking shit, dude. I just don't think... I don't think anyone else is ever going to be like her. It's so cool.
Yeah. A lot of young fucking talent on that show. All of the main characters.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, Hunter Schafer.
Oh, I love her. I love her.
Kiss me, please.
Kiss me.
Oh my God. And Dominic Fike, can we not? I am 10 out of 10 obsessed with him. That was my dream boy. That is my middle school reminiscent. Like, that's who Elliot is everything. Like, that's who I wanted to be with when I was that age. So weird to think about.
I definitely was turned off by the, like, musician and the, like, Apple tattoo. I don't know why. Something made me like,
oh, I no, I was like, yeah, let me get it. Steve's like, this is a TV show and he's a famous actor and singer and you're married to me. And I'm like, oh
no,
I'm sorry, I love you.
I get to fantasize about Timothy Chalamet and fucking whatever I want.
Fucking little boot boy.
What?
He looks like a boot. He's so cute though. I think he's hot, but he looks like a boot.
I don't understand.
Have you seen that meme?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's like, how like how much Timothée Chalamet is too much Timothée Chalamet, and it's his little face, and then it has like this boot with a really long toe next to it. Is this Timothée Chalamet enough? And then another like elven boot with like a way more tippy toe on it with a little spiral. Is this look enough like Timothée Chalamet? Because that's what he looks like. He looks like a boot. I will send it to you. Anyways, we will move on.
Anyway, I think it is a double standard, at least for me, that I recognize that I'm like, oh, I can totally like think that these celebrities are hot and enjoy watching them in sex scenes. But if you comment on, you know, any of that, like I definitely need to check like my fucking
I'm a side eye you.
Equality. Yeah. Male equality. Anyway, whatever, everyone can have a celebrity crush, it's fine, it's normal.
Yes.
Katie, you've actually been watching like on the freaking flip side of Euphoria. You finished Single Drunk Female and you told me that I should watch it, and I have not yet. But what was that like to see someone going through the steps and like, I don't know, tell me about it.
So Single Drunk Female is actually the second series that I watched about someone who has a drinking problem. First, I watched The Woman Across the Street from the Girl in the Window.
Oh, I do want to watch that. Was that triggering for you?
With Kristen Bell. It was fantastic, but she does take her psychotropics and drink copious amount of wine every single night. And so there's a lot of alcohol, but it was almost like used as a point, right? Like,
yeah,
it was problematic and it influenced the way that the show went and her remembering things and not remembering things. It was like a murder mystery. It's really good. People should watch it if you're into that. She's fantastic.
I love her too. And her husband is sober.
Oh, I love him. Have you listened to his podcast?
Yeah, I have. It's great.
It's so good. I love it. I could listen to him talk forever. Yeah. So I watched that. And then, yeah, I binged Single Drunk Female in one day, 5 hours of television. They're nice and short episodes. It's like a 28-year-old female working for like what's supposed to be BuzzFeed in New York. She has a drinking problem. Like the first episode is just about the day that she had to stop drinking because she got arrested. Like, it's not her like fucking up her whole life. It's just about like the day. And then every day thereafter.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And so it like she has a slip up before she has to go to court. She gets court mandated. She has a, you know, probation officer. She gets a job. She gets a sponsor. She's working AA. And yeah, it's a really great, funny TV show about someone who has to move back to their hometown because they've formed a habit after college. You know, like she went to NYU and shit. She's like a successful writer. So yeah, I like it. 10 out of 10 recommend.
It's interesting that Euphoria, that show that you mentioned, and that show, do you think that there's more like representation of addiction and mental health issues on TV now?
Yes. Oh my gosh, 100%. And I haven't made it my mission or anything, but I would really like to prioritize like watching television like that and supporting companies that are investing time and money into producing,
like telling those stories. Yeah,
films like that. Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put it. Another one that I watched in early sobriety was, it's called In the Dark on Netflix. Okay. And it's about a blind person who is an alcoholic, and it is really, really good. And it's also kind of a murder mystery, and there's like, you know, addiction and recovery involved, and it's another really good one. And I think there's three seasons that it's still going. It's doing really well on Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like 13 Reasons Why, like there's just a lot of more content like that. And I don't know if it's, I don't know. I love to see it. I'm at least glad that like people are having the conversations. I'm glad that in our lifetime, mental health has been being seen as more and more of a priority. And I'm like excited to see that continue. But
right. And like for every bad thing that could be said about, you know, one of those TV shows or movies not doing it right, like that is just going to happen when people are trying to figure out how to represent mental health and addiction in media. You know what I mean? Like, there can be criticism of Euphoria. Like, you know, there's like, they're glorifying it. And it's like, you know what? Like, these TV shows are trying their best to represent this process, and it's sensitive and it's going to piss people off and it will make people feel uncomfortable. But I'm really glad that people are willing to take that risk in a time where it feels like you can't do anything right. You know what I mean? And it's, there's just an opinion for every person. And that's also amazing. Like, I'm here for that. But yeah, I imagine it's hard. And I know 13 Reasons Why I got a lot of backlash also in the parent community, because I'm also a parent. So
that was another one that was like a for sure like trigger for me, or was just like one of those shows really similar to like
13 for me.
Yeah, 13 or Skins, or I don't know, just yeah. Kind of idolized or romanticized it.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like it's also being produced as something that's consumable for people, right? That people will pay, like they want to watch. So they all of it will have an addictive quality, like all television, like all of that always has. So I agree with you. I also think that our generation is stepping up to the plate, and older millennials as well. And really
elder
being
millennials.
Elder millennials.
The
My
elders.
Friend Chelsea, that's for you. Yeah. And I think that they're really teaching these things in their households and how to prevent them, and like talking about mental health and being more aware. And therefore, their children are probably interacting with this content a little bit differently than someone like me, who didn't have any education about self-harm, had no education about sex, had no education about alcohol and drugs, and then just immediately was introduced to like a glorification of that. So I don't know. I hope when Iris, our daughter, watches something, she can be like, oh, my parents taught me about how fucking terrible alcohol is for you, so I know I'm not gonna try to get fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh my god, not to bring it back to Euphoria, but I do have to say, as someone who identifies as Cassie, that scene where she throws up in the fucking hot tub, dude.
Oh dude, I
relate.
Yeah, was that me in the hot tub with those dudes smoking that blunt, drinking that? Like, that's
yes.
Yeah, awful.
Yes.
And poor, I just totally 100% relate to this, like, love me feeling of that Cassie embodies so well for so many of us. Like, I really enjoyed it. It's painful to watch, right? Like, it's not a great character, but it's real. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. And obsessing over some guy who's toxic just because he gives you attention. Hi.
Yes, please. Where do I sign? Yeah.
So let's take a break and shout out our partners real quick. Katie, how does that sound?
Hell yeah.
If you know me, you know I'm always drinking 5 NA beverages at one freaking time. So I love having different concoctions to switch things up. That's why Dry Hard Pod partnered with High Street Tonics, a woman-owned, locally crafted range of organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. The restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DRYHARDPOD for 10% off when you purchase.
As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it, over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
Awesome. Well, we've kind of talked about what inspired our shitty little shithead kid years, and then being triggered by things like Succession. But what are you doing now, Katie? Like, what are you excited to watch? How's your relationship with television? Do you have any like goals around that sort of stuff?
Well, it's funny because when I was drinking alcohol, I was constantly shaming myself for watching too much TV.
Yes, same.
And I really think that now that I don't drink alcohol, I'm realizing that I was shaming myself for being hungover and spending the whole day watching TV.
Not getting anything done, yeah.
And like being hungover and feeling shitty. Like, you know, I was just using code, like code was the TV. Like, oh, you watched too much TV. Actually, no, you feel like shit. You didn't do any of the stuff that you needed to do. You spent way too much money last night. You know, I would just go in that same circle and then just add the television stuff on top of it. But now that I have a little bit more balance, like I've been watching more TV and it's been really nice, especially on the weekends and or like a movie with, you know, my family. And I am trying to spend less time on social media. So, you know, I'm just giving myself a little bit there as well. But I really am trying to be more conscious of what I'm consuming. Like, that's really what I want to do anyways. Like, I'm not watching things that glorify alcohol. I want to watch things that, I don't know, like align with how I feel about myself and my relationship with alcohol. And so, yeah, I'm just being more selective with what I watch and trying to read too, which, you know, just trying to have a more intentional balance with it.
I love that. I am really excited for where I'm at right now because I have been beating myself up for not reading for forever. I fucking loved reading as a kid. I loved reading in college. English classes were my favorite classes in high school. And I don't read anymore. And I think that narrative or like, I need to read more and I need to watch less TV was really like, I'm drinking too much. Like I'm beating myself up because I'm drinking too much and I'm not prioritizing this or, I'm watching too much TV. I'm like watching TV as soon as I fucking get off work and I open a bottle and then I finish like a half of another bottle and like stumble my ass to bed every single night. And like, that's what I was feeling guilty about. But I love good storytelling. I love television and Danny does too. And so it's something we connect on and he's introduced me to a lot of good stuff. So we just started watching Severance together with Adam Scott. Yeah. So we're watching that together. And then I am fucking obsessed with RuPaul's Drag Race, and I feel like it's such an easy way for me to make friends. I joined a Slack channel at work that's all about Drag Race. I joined a fantasy league. It's literally like my version of football. I'm super, super into it.
I love that.
Yes, and especially in the last few seasons, there has been a lot of queens that have come out about their relationship to drugs and alcohol and especially working and, you know, getting to do drag, but for the most part, doing it in bars and in clubs and in situations mm-hmm. where drugs and alcohol mm-hmm. are all over the fucking place. So
yeah, that is the culture for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that stuff just makes me really happy to see being represented. And also Drag Race just gives me all the good feels. So yeah. So I'm excited to keep watching TV and not beating myself up about it. Like having that weight off my shoulders feels really good.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah. So what are tools and resources that people can use? Like, what do we think people should be watching if they want to feel good and not want to feel triggered to drink? And also, like, are there any other things that people can do to get their, like, entertainment fix without having to be hit in the face a million times with alcohol?
Well, I was going to say what got me through the whole first, like, 3 months of sobriety was Gilmore Girls. I watched every single episode and there's hardly any alcohol, like maybe Lorelai jokes a couple times at her mom's, but like very few and far between. So like I just kind of like have been reaching for wholesome stuff, like New Girl too. I mean, there are some alcohol, but it is not about people getting fucked up, you know what I mean? And I really like that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, just finding things that are feel a little bit lighter, especially in the beginning. You know, on the pod, sometimes we talk a lot about like where we're at and all of this discovery and all these things. And I think that the messy middle and the beginning are just so easy to skip over when you've been sober for a while. And when I was first sober, like I just needed some like mindless, you know, just going through the motion stuff. So I watched Parenthood, Gilmore Girls, anything that was like family oriented, even some Grey's Anatomy in there, Private Practice, you know, like all my drama, but like that isn't surrounded by like drug use and getting fucked up.
Yeah, I love that. Speaking of girls, I would have to throw in Golden Girls. Yes. So good, so wholesome, so sweet, so fucking funny. Our friend Jack, I'm trying to do like at least once a month where we hang out and watch Golden Girls because it really is just heartwarming. And I will add in the show notes a bunch of drag queen handles that you can follow. I'll have to do some more research to remember what specific episodes or seasons speak to drug and alcohol use and how the queens have been getting themselves through it. But there's some really great sober and or Cali sober drag queens that are, you know, posting and sharing about that online. And I think that that's really cool if you're into that sort of thing. So,
yeah, I love that. I was going to say, too, it's cool to do some research and just figure out like find like celebrities that you know, I know that sounds silly, but Blake Lively doesn't drink alcohol. How fucking cool is that? However, I do have a little beef with her husband having a gin company, but that's a different conversation for a different day.
Yeah.
It's funny. She has an NA line and he has an alcohol line. So
yeah,
just that's a side note. But yeah, just like supporting artists that, you know, choose not to partake. Zendaya actually is one.
I didn't know in real life. Pretty that's cool.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many. Jennifer Lopez, you know why she looks like that?
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't drink alcohol. She's so hot.
Jennifer Aniston too, right? Or am I wrong on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope, you're right on that. There's so many. Katy Perry too. She has a non-alcoholic line now. And yeah, so I don't know. Just like doing a little bit of research and being like, oh, these bitches are hot and I think it's cool that they don't drink. And so I want to support them.
Yeah.
And watch this shit that they create, you know? And then I also think that there is, I'm sure, production companies even that you could find that are advocating for just like research being done on drug and alcohol addiction, right? With their mm-hmm. profits. Like a lot of people start passion projects like that. Oh my gosh, I'm totally going to slaughter this. But oh, Michael Keaton, he just produced Dope Sick. And he just won a SAG award for the production of that series. And it's about addiction and recovery. And so, yeah, I think that it's cool to be able to navigate through that and want to see more advocacy for people who don't have access to recovery, but can watch the show and be like, wow, like I could go to rehab.
Yeah.
I there are tools, you know what I mean? Or I can see someone else getting better and it's real life, you know? So I don't know.
Katie sent me a video of him accepting the award and dedicating it to his nephew. And it was so heartbreakingly beautiful to watch that. I'm so glad that he won that award. It was really sweet.
Well, and I think it's interesting because we see so many people affected by drugs and alcohol around us every day. And then just to think like that's exponential with the amount of people that exist. And so famous people, not famous people, regular people, you know, like across the globe are experiencing the impacts of drugs and alcohol addiction. And we try to stay in our lane. We only talk about alcohol here and we plan to continue that. But I do think that it's an interesting genre to get into if you're up for that.
Yeah. And like as a recap, you know, watch stuff that makes you feel good.
yes.
And whatever that is, like it doesn't have to be necessarily sober content. Like if you want to watch Matilda and
I love Matilda.
It's one of my favorites. The Breakfast Club is another one. They smoke weed and it kind of teaches you that smoking weed will get you friends because that's the premise of that movie. But you know, Disney movies, I recently watched Xenon Girl of the 21st Century, which still holds up. It slaps. So I think especially if you are first getting sober or sober curious, like allow yourself that TV time. It does not mean that you're a bad person. It does not mean that you're like quote unquote lazy. Like do your thing, you know, get it.
Yeah. And then another takeaway, which I didn't even realize until I just talked about this for an hour and a half. Like, watch things that are also good for your brain, like higher vibes, because like I can't fall asleep listening to true crime anymore because it fucks up my brain. And I think that we all deserve to have some laughs and watch some wholesome shit here and there too, like you were saying.
Yeah, I'm gonna start Ted Lasso. I'm excited. I've heard that that's a good one for that.
Oh my. Okay, if you're a listener and you've made it this far, thank you. And then second, go harass Kaylee in her fucking DMs because she has not watched Ted Lasso. How?
Because I prioritize Succession and Euphoria, and now I need the serotonin. So I'm gonna do it.
Watch more TV. I literally feel like I'm running a TV circle around you right now. So
I love it. It's rainy and there's not shit to do. Yeah. If you're not like going out to dinner or going to a bar, it's TV time, babies. So let's do it.
Live it, laugh it, love it.
Live it, laugh it, love it.
Well, thanks for listening. If you like today's episode, follow us at Dry Hard Pod on Instagram for episode updates, additional resources, and get in contact with us. Let us know what you want to talk about. Stay tuned because we have a massive guest coming up also. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. Share our episodes, share our memes, share all of our content. It just helps people find resources that resonate with them. If it's not our show, it's maybe something we share, just the way that we approach sober curiosity and questioning what doesn't serve you anymore. And message us, ask questions. Like, we're here for you. If you are trying to take a break from social media at this time, please send us an email if you need anything, or if you want to connect, if you're interested in being a guest on the show, or if you just have feedback, send us an email, dryhardpod@gmail.com. We are here for it.